Blog Talk Radio.
Mondays with Coach Adam, presented by Inspired Media for You. It's time to receive your weekly infusion of motivation and empowerment to jumpstart your week. I am your host, Shania Marie Adams, affectionately known as Coach Adams, master motivator and your resident empowerment coach. I coach and you win. Our focus on Motivational Mondays is to equip and empower you in the process of closing the gap from where you are to where you desire to grow. Each week, we come together to engage on life's highway, where we are on a divine journey in which I truly believe God is the light illuminating our path, guiding and directing each and every step along the way. We sincerely appreciate and value your participation, our global listening audience, and we genuinely appreciate you tuning in for this time of empowerment coined as Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, hashtag I'm for you. We don't take your time lightly or for granted, but rather we are eternally grateful to have this opportunity to sow into your lives on your journey of purpose to fulfill your destiny. Here on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, our programming is designed based on two formats of empowerment that we bring you each and every week. The blending of our in-studio guests sharing their testimonies and or their areas of expertise and our Shape Up series, which has been designed to support you on your journey to win, personally and professionally, so that you may be more equipped to work it now, work your vision, achieve your goals, and ultimately living out your dreams. Wow, I tell you, on each installment of Motivational Mondays, it is rich and empowering. And last week we had a dynamic time during our Shape Up series. I want you to know if you have missed any of our past show episodes, archives of previous broadcasts, and the richness of what is shared each week are always available online at www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmedia4U. www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmedia4U. Each installment of Motivational Mondays is rich and insightful. Of course, Coach Adams is biased, but that's what you, our global listening audience, keeps telling us. Allow me to set up the framework of today's broadcast. I am so excited about today's dynamo duo that will be joining us in the boardroom. Coach Adams will share with our guests in studio for about 40 minutes into today's broadcast around today's subject, and then we will open up our programming for you, our valued audience, to participate, at which time we welcome your questions and comments. This, of course, lends to an interactive environment, which we encourage and we truly love. We want you to get prepared for tonight's installment around today's subject, for the love of family and ministry. But before we bring in our in-studio guest, the Dynamic Duo, as I'm coining right now in this moment, we want you to take a moment. And before we jump into today's topic, we ask that you take a moment to invite someone to the show, write on someone's Facebook wall, send an inbox message, send a tweet, a text, a DM, an email, a message in the bottle, a carrier pigeon. Do whatever you need to do to invite someone to join you for today's broadcast. And I want you to know in advance, we extend our heartfelt thanks for your support with expanding our outreach. I have a question that I want to open today with, and if this is you, I want you to know that you should, without question, get prepared with your pens, your notepads, your tablets, your iPads, whatever you need to capture notes around the richness of wisdom that will be shared and brought to today's episode from our in-studio guest. Are you struggling with how to effectively and efficiently balance your vision, your goals, your dreams with maintaining a family? If that's you, you've tuned in for tonight's episode, and this is the right episode for you. But if you're not there and you're planning to have a family and you know there's a great assignment on your life, I want you to know that this show is for you as well. So regardless of where you are in your process, know that if you're just struggling to balance the various balls that you have bouncing in the air, that this show is for you. I'm going to bring in with great pleasure Dr. Deborah Simmons. This is one of my beloved spiritual sisters in the faith who I have so much honor and respect for. And I'm actually going to ask Dr. Deborah, how would she describe? She has many accolades, I must say, but I want to give her the opportunity from her own words to share with us, who would you say Dr. Deborah Simmons is? Welcome in, Dr. Deborah.
I would say that Dr. Deborah is a believer, a person who loves God, that God is first in my life, and that I am a lover of God's people.
I love it. Now, I know that there is someone sitting nearby who is extra special to you. And thank you both for being on the show. Dr. Deborah, would you do us the honor to bring in our bishop?
All right. I would like to introduce my husband, my partner, my friend, my love, and my life, my husband of 44 years, in July. We will have been married for 44 years, and he is a visionary leader. He's thoughtful, kind, and he is my husband, and that's Bishop Esley Simmons, and I think it's 45 years.
It is.
But here he is, Bishop Esley Simmons.
Hello, Shania, and to the audience.
Hello,
today.
Hello, family.
That was
I apologize, Bishop. I was so appreciating that amazing intro. I love it. You know, I have had the pleasure of sharing time with you both, and you know, I know at the heart of this beautiful man and woman is a beautiful love story. And I think it's important for our global listening audience to know, when did, 45 years. So we know 45 years ago, but how did you come together?
Well, And are you asking, well, let me see. It began when we were in high school, when I spotted her as a cheerleader. That's where it all really got started. I spotted her as a cheerleader, and I was a football player. A year ahead of her, I graduated and came back to a game, and she was cheering at the game I was attending. While I was in college, she was in her last year of high school. And one day, after getting born again, I went to her dad's church to ask if their choir could join our choir in a citywide revival crusade kind of meeting. He said yes. I began to pick her up and drop her off along with three other of her sisters in a 1966 Chevy Bel Air that my dad had given me. And they didn't live very far from us, but during the months where we had rehearsals and then finally did the service, I was able to get to know Deborah. I had a secret weapon that I was using to monitor her words, which was an old-fashioned tape recorder. I slipped under the front side of the driver's seat and turned it on when they got in. After the meeting was over and I dropped her off, I would take that home and listen. And the few words that she would say, it strained my heart just to hear the few words she would say. And I think that's what kind of captured my attention and moved me in her direction instead of the other three sisters that were riding with me. And I think they were kind of chaperoning each other. And it's probably their father's way of protecting all of them by making them all ride with me. But I singled Deborah out, and finally we went on a date. She asked me if I wanted to go horseback riding, and I picked her up in that same Chevy Bel Air. And the horse stable was closed that day. We were living in Oakland. And when we found out it was closed, we just parked on Skyline Boulevard and talked. And from that day to this, she's never gotten out of my car. Even though I've changed cars, we've been dating ever since that first day till the day.
Wow, I love it. But wait. She captured your heart. We got it. I heard that clearly. But Bishop, did you really say you used to record her?
I recorded every time we met. Every time I picked her up, her sisters were talking and chattering and having a good time. I was straining to hear what Deborah would say. And finally, one day, I don't know what happened, because I was kind of shy after I got saved and just wanted to keep my life right with God. And so I really wasn't running after anybody, but I knew I liked her. And I knew I liked her. And so I was wanting to hear her say something. And one day she called me and she said, would you like to go horseback riding? I didn't think it was a date. I just said, okay. But now I know it was a date. And we talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and scheduled another time to be together. I was in college at that time. I was going to Simpson Bible College. I started going to Bible College in San Francisco, and I lived on campus. But I was home for the weekend that weekend, and I wrote her a little book. Go to the Five and Dime and get a book about the size of a 3x5 card, and I filled it up with words and love things that I just wanted to say to her. And I didn't have much money, and I would write those letters and buy her a one flower and hand it to her. And that was the beginning of our courtship.
I love it. I am so touched because I didn't know this part of the story. But I want to give Dr. Deborah an opportunity. Do you have a different point of view or spin to put on this love story?
Well,
Not too much. I guess you could say he swept me off my feet because I had never dated up until that time. I had never had a boyfriend. Was 1 year. I graduated from high school at 17, so I was attending college, and I had never dated, had never had a boyfriend, and within 4 months of us going to on that first date, we were married, and I don't think I really knew what I was getting into at that age, a few months before I turned 19, and it was just the Lord that kept us and, you know, hooked us up. Just the fact that God was in both of our lives helped us endure through the times, and I knew that I wanted to be married and that once I got married, it would be for the rest of my life. But I had some conceptions of marriage that probably didn't match what was in my husband's head. I grew up in a home where we couldn't watch TV. We didn't go to the movies. We were very, very well guarded. And so an outing for me was to spend a weekend in the library. And my husband grew up in a different type of home, and both of our parents were pastors. And so one thing that I had vowed for me that I would never marry a preacher because we lived in a glass house, and I didn't want my kids to come up with the church or church members trying to raise them. But little did I know what God had in store for me.
And, you know, what's so amazing, knowing that you both came from parents who were ministers, and you, of course, are phenomenal ministers in the Sacramento area, that God had, like you said, a plan. Question for you. I know, Dr. Deborah, you said, you know, I didn't want to marry a preacher or a pastor. Bishop, when did you know that God had this ministry call on your life?
I knew I was called to preach at a real young age. I thought I was. I had an awareness of God that He would talk to me, and I wasn't living right, but I still would preach to people that are going to hell, and I wasn't saved. I wasn't born again. But I was in church, and one day while I was in St. Louis at the age of 19, I stumbled into a service in Central Park. They invited me to an open-air service in another location. I went there that evening, and I had a sense of purpose and destiny while I was going. The question they asked me impacted me, and it drew me to that service. They said to me, you know, you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. And so that scripture began to talk to me, and I ended up in that service that night, giving my life to the Lord. And that night is the night that I heard the Lord say to me, will you go, and who can I send to preach the gospel? And I didn't know it was a scripture in the Bible when I heard it that night, but later found out that it was taken from the book of Isaiah, where he said to him, who shall go for us and whom shall I send? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Well, I was basically rehearsing that in my salvation experience that night, because I said I would go. And I knew what I was saying yes to do, but I did not have any idea about the process that pursuing ministry would take me through, as well as my wife and my family. Yeah, so from then till now, I've been in that process. The first part of it was just learning the word and then teaching on an adolescent level, preaching adolescent level. But later, as I grew and developed, I began to pinpoint the call, and which was a calling to preach the gospel according to Matthew 28:18-20, through, you know, the making and raising up disciples and sending them out, which ultimately led me to pastor a local church, start a church, and to continue pursuing the development and growth of that church until now.
And, you know, I must ask, and then I have a follow-up question for Dr. Deborah. Of course, you shared that you're going into 45 years of wedded bliss, dating your honey regularly. I heard you saying that earlier in July, and you're in ministry. How many years have you actually been in ministry out of the 45 years?
I preached my first message when I was 20, when I was 20 years old.
Right before we got married.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So right before you got married. Now, this is interesting. The plot thickens. I love it. Because Dr. Deborah, of course, you said, I don't want to marry a minister. And he preaches right before you get married. How do you settle in on the reality of, wow, I'm marrying a minister?
She probably, the first time she heard me, and I know it's her turn to talk, but she probably fainted. I think she may have fainted that first day I preached. She was so overwhelmed.
Laugh, because this is a laughing moment. I was there, but I did not faint. And I guess I just settled into the fact that this is part of my assignment. God has been grooming me for this all my life, and let me just make the adjustment. And then at that time, I didn't see ministry. I mean, we did make a covenant with each other that it would be God first and then our family and then ministry. But ministry for me was different than it is now. I had goals of going on to law school, becoming an attorney, and probably in my husband's head, he saw me supporting him while he was in ministry.
Yeah, I did.
And so ministry in back in, you know, 40 years ago, there weren't many women in ministry. So for me to even, I couldn't even conceive of myself ministering on a Sunday 45 years ago.
Or anywhere else.
You said, or anywhere else, Bishop. Isn't it interesting that, you know, and my mom used to always tell me, great wisdom, never say never. And that is something that stands out to me. Even today, I heard someone saying, I would never. I said, woo-hoo, never say never. Because, you know, when you say that, it seems like it always comes around. Like you said, I don't want to marry a minister. But then this was a part of God's call on your life. And I know not only, obviously, are you pillars in the community in Sacramento, ministers, but you have family. Tell us about this beautiful family that you have, that now you're all intertwined to some degree in ministry, growing up, balancing family and ministry. How many children do you have together?
We have 5 children, 4 sons and 1 daughter.
And how many grandchildren?
We have 13 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild.
Oh, wow. Look at that. So 5 children, 13 grandchildren, 1 great-grand. How do you effectively balance? Obviously, Bishop is growing in ministry, you all are married, and the family starts to develop. How do you balance family and ministry? And, you know, I say it in that way, but if someone's listening in, I want you to know that there's a balancing that happens regardless. So maybe you're not in ministry, but you have a vision. You have goals that you're fighting to achieve. The struggle of balancing the two. What wisdom Dr. Deborah and Bishop Esley, would you have for someone listening in that's saying, wow, I don't know how I can accomplish these things?
Well, for one thing, you do have to prioritize them. And for us, it's always been and will always be God first, family second, and ministry third. And we don't sacrifice ministry for our family. You can't do ministry without your family. And ministry begins at home. And once we realize that, it's just who we are, that we couldn't even see ourselves doing ministry without our family being involved.
Yeah, Ben, I think we know those principles now. We've had to learn through trial and error, because for us, like Deborah said, her family was the family unit and environment that she came out of was very different from mine. Mine was probably total opposite from hers, where what she couldn't do, we were allowed to. And so when we came into the same house, thank God we both were saved. And we both knew that I was called to preach, and that was the preeminent thing in my life, what to pursue was my ministry. So I knew that someday I would pastor church and that I would do it full time. I didn't know how. Neither did I know how to raise my family, and I didn't know how to be a husband while pursuing those things. In the beginning, we just did the best we could. We sometimes just were pushed by the sheer fact that we wanted to succeed, and things that were in our life, our children, we carried them along with us. But they eventually, the kids they loved us, and they began to love what we do. And so they didn't rebel. They didn't hold it against us for bringing them to services when we were building the ministry. I think the biggest contributor for Deborah and I was when something was not going like we wanted it to go and we were still pursuing the vision, we would get counseling or we would talk. And the lines of communication stayed open throughout our marriage so that we could continue to pursue what I call my high calling and her high calling. Our highest priority was to serve God and to do our assignment that we felt was our purpose in life. So, yeah, hope that answers.
You know, I so love that, Bishop. Such great wisdom that both you and Dr. Deborah are sharing. And if you're just tuning in to Motivational Mondays, you're joining us with truly a rich and insightful dialogue with Dr. Deborah and Bishop Esley Simmons out of Sacramento, of South Sacramento Christian Center. We've heard this beautiful love story that blossomed in high school, married high school sweetheart 4 months after meeting. She captured his heart. Then he has a call and she has a call, and together they are balancing family and ministry. I love the wisdom that you shared when you said the foundation is God first, family second, ministry third, and keeping things in that order. You know, as you've been on your journey, what would you say is the greatest insight or wisdom that you would share with someone who is struggling to balance, quote unquote, the various balls of life? How or where should they go to step back and reset? You said focus and priorities is key. Any additional wisdom that you would share with someone listening in that's saying, I heard what they said, but I don't get it. I'm struggling.
Well, I think that often when people get married, they think that they have to lose their identity or who they are. And one of the most important things for me, when I got married, my husband knew that probably at about 12, I started saying I want to be an attorney. So he knew that I always wanted to go to law school. Also, in the church that I grew in, they told us that lawyers were professional liars and that it was not a good profession for Christians. So I never pursued that. And one day I got home, and I had been complaining. By then, I had four sons, and I felt like my life had stagnated. And he came home that day, and I told him, "Hun, I feel like this house is a giant casket, and I am buried in it, and it just has walls." I said, "I only talk to the kids all day, and they're gibberish and helping them with their homework. I need something to stimulate me." And the next day he went out and enrolled me in law school without me even knowing, and paid the tuition and came home and said, "I enrolled you in law school. You start next week." And for me, that was a life-changing moment to know that he was really concerned about my life too, that my dreams and aspirations still mattered. And then after we got married, I know that I just have to throw this pitch in, because both of us have attended Vertical Leap, we could say phase one at least 5 times and phase two maybe 4 times, but every time we went, we were like born again. And it helped us delete some of the old files that we had accumulated over the years, and helped us to begin to dream again. And so even we're in our 60s, but we're still dreaming. We still have plans. We still know that God has some stuff for us to accomplish, and we know that we can do it, and we're just excited about it.
Yeah, I think with that, Deborah had a vision. And when we talk about vision, we're talking about a clear a vision is a clear picture of our future that is either written, you know, the Bible says write it and make it plain upon tables so that he that reads it can run with it. But it's a clear and understandable words. They're clear and understandable words that are either written or spoken that gives you the ability to get a glimpse of your future or a snapshot of where, let's say, your divine purpose, the purpose for you living, the highest priority in life for you to fulfill. This was what we had too. One was to pursue Matthew 28:18, to go in all the world. The other one was to have a successful marriage. And any vision helps you and I. It helped Deborah and I to develop. It developed our character because we pursued it. There was pressure on us to get to the top of our game, to reach a potential in our vision that where we could see that we were moving towards being our very best at what we were doing. And so in those areas, when we heard each other say what we wanted to do, she helped me and I helped her. And I would never give up on her. I would never give up on her. She was in law school while she was nursing our last child, Brittany. And I would take the boys and Brittany to a movie while she was in, drop her off and take them to a movie and have a night out with the kids. And we just worked together. It was a team effort. We knew that we were destined to be together, and we loved each other enough to support each other in the goals we felt we wanted to pursue in life. Yeah, sometimes it broke us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it broke us. In other words, you know, we didn't have the money, but we had the faith. And faith found a way to help us, our faith in God, found a way to help us achieve the dreams we had. That, you know, and I know you were there for a couple of those things, and you saw us in that birthing process of some places that we occupy now. But it was always difficult. It was always challenging. And it always challenged our love and our faith. Our love, you know, could our love handle the pressure in terms of the family? And then once our kids got old enough, my daughter came and she said, "Daddy, I'm just so happy that you finally are living this dream that you had." So our kids, they gave to us, they supported us, they pushed for us in ways that they only could do. So the family unit got stronger.
And, you know, there's great richness in what you're sharing, and I love several things that we've heard come out of this segment. In that, great wisdom that Dr. Deborah shared was don't lose your identity, but that, Bishop, you had to hear her heart and the openness of what she shared. I can only imagine, you know, if your wife comes to you and says, "Babe, I feel like these four walls is like a casket." I mean, just hearing that, it's like, wow. But it shows the strength of your relationship. And for you to hear Dr. Deborah enough to say, "Wow, let me get her into law school. That's a dream that she has," and get her enrolled and just support her vision as she has supported your vision, being that you are both visionaries. You know, I would love for you to share with our global audience, speaking of visionaries, where you are today. Of course, I know, but help our audience to see, what is South Sacramento Christian Center? Where did it start? Where is it today? And what's next on the horizon?
Well, South Sacramento Christian Center started in our home with about 17 people about 26 years ago. And what we wanted was a place where people of all colors could come and worship God, void of denominations and all the traditions. And so now we occupy one facility is 44,000 square feet. And in it, we are literally a church without walls. The Lord has blessed us. And now in our facility, we house seven government agencies, such as the probation department, the welfare department, child protective services, California First Five. We're housing those agencies so that people in our community now don't have a fear of when these agencies show up. And now if they need them, they don't have to go out of their community to obtain the services that they provide. A year ago, we purchased a skating rink, community center, youth center, and cafe. And now we're housing a lot of mentorship programs for teens. We do free exercise classes, free parenting classes, hip-hop classes. And so we see approximately 1,000 youth go through that center every single month, and that's the net that we fish out of for ministry, meaning those kids, for them now it's home. It's a safe place. It's a place that our neighborhood could did not have it first, but now they can come and play basketball, get help when they're in trouble. It's just, for me, it's exciting. And where are we going from here? I know this year Bishop and I will be transitioning. We will remain the senior pastors, but Bishop will be turning the ministry over to my son, Pastor Les, who will become the full-time pastor. And so that'll open the door for us to do more traveling in and out of the country and just still spreading the gospel and then being there for that next generation where we're not just turning it over, but now we'll be able to join hands and provide some of the finances and the leadership and the guidance for to push him to his next level of success.
On one side of the, on the other side of the ministry, of course, we have boss classes, which we've done for many years, and boss leaders, boss trainers are there to effectively hold those classes on a weekly basis, as well as the Kids Kingdom Church. We've planted 5 Spanish churches in the last 3 years from San Francisco, Napa, Fairfield, Sacramento, San Diego, and Santa Rosa, and, 2 in Sacramento, and other churches between Sacramento and the Los Angeles area. So we have a couple of churches down in L.A. as well that we've had relationship with, started and helped, stopped and started and worked with them for a few years and then set a pastor there or released a pastor to go there, and the pastor is now covering those churches. Also, we do a lot of basketball training programs called Ball Out Hoop and another one, I'm not sure what the name of it is, but it's a mentorship program where they use sports to mentor the kids along with SAC PD, the Sacramento Police Department, and
Sierra Health Foundation, Black Child Legacy,
where we are now working with infant mortality. And these are staff members that are part of our staff now, new staff members. I think we've acquired 5 over the last year and a half since we bought that building. And 2 of them are part-time, 3 are full-time, and very efficient workers. We have an employment agency on the other side as well, so we call it 2 sides. One side is the community center, and the other side is the ministry area. But over on the ministry side, we have an employment agency, and just recently we've stepped into some areas of providing housing for transitional people who are in transition that may have lost their job, lost their place to stay, have no income right now, but need a place to live until they are able to save it. And that's by application, of course. But we have this relationship with Kavanaugh, a company called Kavanaugh is a nonprofit that's building tiny houses for me that I'm using as transitional housing that's solar, outfitted and everything, brand spanking new. And our first one has just gotten placed on a 5-acre property where we are, one of the 5-acre properties that we have in town where the church is situated. And they're there providing assistance to them through the different things that we have. So there's many other areas of ministry and departments and outreach areas, food distribution, clothing distribution. We could go on and on and on. But we are always trying to find out what the need is.
What makes God happy.
And when we find the need, we begin to meet that need. And that becomes now Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. We use those arms, those outreaches to make disciples, fish out of there, make disciples, impact people's lives first with good things that we do, and then we can lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, which pleases God. So that doesn't include our mission efforts. Our mission efforts are worldwide, and we've always done that. We have a history of raising up churches, doing crusades, outreaches in other countries, India, Philippines, Africa, Fiji, Europe, Brussels, Jamaica, built churches there. I sound like I'm, just going on and on about it, but I can keep going on and on about it. Because it's our life. And now we've been woven and knit together, Deborah and I, and what's on us now has fallen on our children. And they're doing the heavy lifting now in the ministry.
You know, what I love so much is that you have really shown us that when you are a great vision and two are walking in agreement, what they can truly accomplish. And, you know, literally two episodes ago, I think I had some powerful in-studio guests, and we were talking about the power of two. And as I'm listening to all of what you're sharing, I'm like, wow, it is truly a lot that in this tenure of 45 years that God has truly used you for you to accomplish such a great work. And I know it's not done. And on top of that you're leaving a great legacy. I know it has to make your heart sing that your son is going to be the senior pastor taking over, you know, the work that you've started to carry the torch. How amazing. I am just in awe. I really am. When I hear of what you're doing, the various facets and different components, it makes my heart sing. You know, I think that this would be a great time in today's programming to allow, maybe we have someone that has a question for you, a comment, they want to pull on some of your wisdom. I want our global listening audience here on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams to know that this is the time in our program, and we invite you to share in today's discussion. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. If you're on your electronic device, you do need to call in. You would dial in 516-453-9374. Again, you would press 1 to add yourself to the host queue if you want to ask a question or you want to make a comment around today's discussion. Looks like we already have two individuals in the queue. We'll bring in our first caller. Caller, area code 310, last four digits 2567. Welcome to Motivational Monday, presented by Inspired Media for you.
Hi, Dr. D and Bishop. This is your Southern California family, Marcus Bright. I am just overwhelmed and grateful that you're sharing words and pearls of wisdom. And what has me excited is part of your vision that you're speaking and that you spoke, I have on the inside. So it's very encouraging to hear that you're doing it, it can be done, and that I have family that I can connect to get some insight and some mentoring. So God bless you. Continued success.
You.
Great story. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Love you too.
Thank you.
And our next caller, I'll transition you in. And Mr. Marcus Bright, if you can press 1 to remove yourself from the host queue. We have area code 916, last four digits 2794. You are live on Motivational Mondays, presented by Inspired Media for you.
Hi, good evening. This is Don and Charlene.
We just want to say to
Bishop and Dr. Deborah that they have truly been an inspiration to me and Charlene both, and it's good to know them. You know, we've met them, and I'd just like to say to them, you know, we've seen them in ministry and the church. We've seen them. We've had the privilege to sit down and have dinner with them and be able to talk to them, and they're professionals, if I could say it like this, on duty and off duty. They're fun to be around, but at the same time, we just appreciate that God brought us into relationship with you because you both have a lot of wisdom. We've drawn from it, and we're going to continue to draw from it. And just want to say that we love you both, and we appreciate you.
Yes, and thank you for all the nuggets of encouragement. We really love you guys, and thank you for always pushing us in the right direction. So
yes.
I just wanted to give a shout-out to you guys. We're extremely excited about what God is doing here in Sacramento with you guys.
Yes, very
you.
Much.
Thank you, Charlene and Don.
Love you, too.
Thank you. We love you. Bye.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Bye.
Wow, so we have our family chiming in. Those that have already asked a question or made a comment, if you can press 1 on your telephone keypad to remove yourself from the host queue, press 1. If you have a question or a comment, you still have time. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. You know, I'm sure we have other individuals listening in, and they want to know, wow, how can I connect with Dr. Deborah and Bishop Esley Simmons? How would they get in touch with you or through the church? What contact information do you have today?
Well, the church is South Sacramento Christian Center, and we are located at 7710 Stockton Boulevard, Sacramento, California. The telephone number is 916-681-6791, and we are in the office normally Tuesday through
Monday
Friday.
Now. Monday now.
Bishop said Monday now, so you can always call and make an appointment, and we are there. You can find us. Our service times, our main service times are Sundays 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and then we have Bible study every Wednesday at 12 noon and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And then a host of other times, but those are the main service times.
Wonderful. And Dr. Deborah, would you give the phone number one more time? And then I have a virtual question that came in. I'll bring that once we get the number again.
Yes, the telephone number is 916-681-6791.
Excellent. And we have a virtual question. Individual listening online, they would like to know, do you have any classes where someone can share or receive your business principles?
Classes. Where someone could receive our vision or our business principles.
Do you have any classes where someone could receive your business principles? The wisdom, I'm assuming, is what they're saying, of the wisdom of the business principles that you have shared or that you walked in.
We do have one tool, and that will be starting in September, and that's our Joseph Business School, and that concept is based on a prototype from Dr. Bill Winston's church. It's doing business God's way, and that course starts in September, and we will be taping those classes, but we do tape every service where if a person wanted to call the church and receive our teaching tape, our teaching CDs, they are available, as well as we do have several books. Bishop's main book is How to Reclassify Yourself, and it talks about when he was younger, how he went from third string to first string using godly principles. And then my book, one of my missions right now in life is to help women heal who have been molested or abused. So I do have one book. I call it a children's book, but it ministers to people of all ages to start that healing process. And it's called Sad Face. It's in English as well as in Fijian. And then I have one planner. So you can always call the church to get access to any of those materials.
Wonderful. And are your books available online, or is it exclusively through orders from the church?
They are available on Amazon, but we prefer you calling the church to get them.
You got it. And a follow-up question, and the virtual listeners, of course, is online, so they're not able to interact live. But they said they love the school concept. And the question, a follow-up question was, will the classes be online, available virtually, if someone, for example, is out of the Sacramento area?
They could get them from Chicago online. They have online courses, but we don't have any online ones from the Sacramento site. But they are the same courses, Joseph Business School.
Wonderful. I love it. Great interaction. You know, as we prepare, it's amazing how quickly an hour of power flies by. Dr. Deborah and Bishop Esley, I cannot thank you enough for sharing such great wisdom on today's broadcast of Motivational Mondays. It has truly been insightful. I know I have a list of notes. In closing, any final thoughts, pearls of wisdom that you would like to share with our global listening audience as we prepare to bring tonight's broadcast to a close?
Well, I just want to thank you personally for giving us this opportunity, and then for your listening audience to spend this hour letting us come into their homes and just listening to us. So we really appreciate the opportunity. That's one of our goals, is for God to be glorified in whatever we do. And when we can make God happy, it sure makes our life happier.
And I just want to say thank you, too, and to the listeners to the broadcast tonight. It's been a real privilege sharing our story, a little bit of our story, and some of the principles that carried us through. And I just want to encourage people who may be going through something, some challenges in your vision for your family, in your vision for your ministry or your business, to develop strong commitments to principles and develop your prayer life, develop some patience, and have some thick skin about yourself so that the persecutions and challenges that come along that challenge your vision and the fulfillment of them, you can stand strong in the face of those things, because your vision knows something about your future that you can't see. But it is a brief visit to your future. And if you keep persisting until you succeed, you will accomplish your goal.
Ooh, I like that quote, Bishop. Your vision knows something about your future. I want to make sure I have it right. That... what was the rest of it?
Your vision knows something about your future that you haven't experienced yet. Vision Vision sees beyond your limitations, your knowledge, your skill, your limited financial capital. Your vision is the power, all the power you need to get where you're going, if you will keep it in front of you. That's why the Bible says write it, so you can keep it in front of you.
Wow, I must say that was a rich nugget to feel tonight's broadcast. And I want to thank our global listening audience for tuning in. I want you to be reminded, and for those that don't know, we do have a Facebook Motivational Mondays forum. It is an open group, and we would love the opportunity to continue this dialogue. If you've got something from today's broadcast, send us a note, a message, and let us know what was your greatest takeaway from the wisdom and the insight that Dr. Deborah and Bishop Esley had to share around tonight's subject of For the Love of Family and Ministry. Coach Adams, of course, wants to stay connected with you. If you are not already a part of my network, please visit coachadams.com. coachadams.com. Coach Adams has a full circle of empowerment to support you on your journey to achieve greater success. And I want you to know a part of that is every Monday you can tune in here and get your jump start of your motivation and inspiration for the week through Motivational Mondays, twice a year through our Win Shop. The next Win Shop is in July. And just to stay connected, we want to thank you again for tuning in to Motivational Monday, presented by Inspired Media for you. This is Coach Adams signing off for now. I coach and you win. Thank you again for tuning in.